For some people, these are some tough economic times. We've seen the numbers, John. We've been reporting on them. And now they're being reflected in a new way. A rising number of Americans are turning to food assistance, to food stamps and pantries. America's Second Harvest, a network of 200 food banks across the country, reports an increase in demand of 20% over last year. The numbers are climbing, especially for those who once considered themselves solidly in the middle class. Families like that of Janie Larson in a suburb of Columbus, Ohio. Welcome, Janie.
Thanks.
Now you're
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Thanks for being with us. You're a grandmother of two. You work full time, but yet this week you found yourself somewhere for the very first time in your life. And where was that?
Well, I was finding myself, you know, getting donations for food and not being able to purchase food because I had to worry about, you know, gas and parking at work to get there.
And what put you, was that what put you over the edge? Because as we said, you work full time, you work in the juvenile correctional system, and but it's not enough. Was it just the gas prices?
No, I was. I found myself unemployed at an older age, and of course, my resume reflected my age by, you know, my work experience. I could not even get an interview, and luckily, I landed the job with the county. However, it doesn't, you know, pay a whole lot to substantiate two children and the gas, and the food prices are outrageous.
How did it make you feel, Janie?
I'm terrified. I don't sleep at night. I'm scared for my grandkids. I mean, I just, you know, what are we looking at? And I'm not going to be the only one in this situation, I understand. And I feel sorry for the ones who are worse off than I, but it's terrifying.
And you're right. You're not the only one. We're going to turn now to Amy Lipp. She's a 31-year-old mother of three. She lives in California in a community between L.A. and San Diego. And 2 years ago, you and your husband, Amy, were making almost $100,000 a year. You were feeling very comfortable. But your husband's been out of work for since August. And now you, too, find yourself in a situation that you've never been in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Good morning. My heart goes out to Janie because I know where she's at right now, and we never thought we'd be in this situation ever, and it's just been a surreal experience.
And and what was it for you? What was the cost of life that put you over the edge where you had to seek food stamps?
My husband, since he's been unemployed since August, we exhausted our savings. We cashed out our 401k just to survive. Then his unemployment ran out, and he's been unable to find work. And so it came to the point where we couldn't pay our electric bill and feed our kids. And so my sister said, "You need to go check out food stamps because this you can't do this." The stress was just eating away at us of not being able to provide for our children.
Now, when you get food stamps, does it alleviate that concern? I mean, Janie is talking about being terrified, even though she's found some support. I'm wondering if that's the same feeling that you're having.
You know, it's amazing what it did to alleviate that, just that burden, because we're terrified about everything else, about losing our home, about losing our cars, losing everything that we've worked so hard for the last several years, or, you know, since we've been married. We're constantly terrified. But knowing that we can feed our kids has alleviated a huge burden for us because we've always provided very well for them, and that there's nothing that makes you feel more like a failure than not being thinking you can't feed your children.
Janie, who did you think the poor were before you had this experience, and who do you think the poor are now?
The poor were the people that, you know, were uneducated and just, you know, had lost. Never really came from anything. I mean, I had so much empathy. I used to give to the poor and help and, you know, donate and do everything I can. I've lost my house. I filed bankruptcy. I make $12.49 an hour. I don't even qualify for food stamps. And yet, you know, if I get something that, you know I'm not going to use, I will redonate it to the pantry. Just, you know, because I'm a giver. I'm not a taker. And I found myself in a totally different, you know, at my age, in a totally different way of life.
Did that make it difficult to make that step to ask for help, Janie?
It did. And people at work were trying to help me, you know, and I was like, I just close my eyes and say, just take it. You know, just, you know, they would give me food or, you know, clothing for the kids or things like that. But, you know, I can't afford.
Amy, what advice do you have for people who are coming up to the edge, running the numbers, and are maybe hesitating to reach out?
You know, it's there's a shame and a stigma attached, I think, to people like us who have always worked hard and, you know, not to lessen that people who have always struggled, but I think it's harder for us to reach out because we've always been the ones who have helped others and done things like that. So I would say that's why there are programs out there. That's what we've had to tell ourselves. That's why this food stamps program was designed, for people who are in need. And unfortunately, we're in a need situation, so you need to reach out and take what's out there for you.
Amy, I don't think you'd be surprised to know that actually the government reports that more than 1.5 million more people this year are using food stamps than a year ago.
It's an amazing number.
So
that doesn't shock me at all. And the way you're treated, I mean, it's like they've done studies on heavy people and skinny people getting jobs and how they're treated and, become poor.
What do you tell your kids?
So much, you know.
What do you tell your kids? What do you explain to your kids, your grandkids in your case, Janie, and your kids, Amy, about this sort of experience?
With my kids, they went with us for one of the food stamps meetings. We had to go in and meet with the people at the food stamps office, and we did talk to them about it because I didn't want them to think something was wrong, but they could tell we were upset because it was hard, and we just said that there are people that are going to help us because Mommy and Papa are having a hard time, and these people are going to help us so that you have some good, healthy food to eat, and, you know, we just tried to make it. We don't want them to feel the brunt of this. And
how old are they?
I have a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 4-year-old.
And Janie, how old are your grandkids?
They just turned 4 and 5, and so I really have not shared with them the hardship. We're looking to move because, my house is being foreclosed on, and I think that would scare them because they were with my son and his wife who were addicts, and they were shifted from motel to places, and this is the first security they've had for a year, and now I have to disrupt that. And I'm going to have to explain to them. I've tried to buffer it with telling them how exciting it's going to be, and I don't know. But I'm terrified myself. So.
We can definitely feel those challenges that you have. Gosh, thanks so much for speaking to us and for helping all the people out there who are facing some of the similar kinds of decisions.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for drawing attention to this.
Sure. Well, we'll be back to talk to you again. And good luck to both of you. Janie Larson from Columbus, Ohio, and Amy Lips from Lake Elsinore, California.
Thank you so much.
Good luck, Amy.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that says it all right there.
They think so. Pretty sobering.
Keep your responses coming to anything you heard on today's show. If you're like Amy and Janie, we want to hear from you at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. That's the takeaway for today.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.